You can be seated. And as you do, can we just give it up for this music team, this tech team, the hospitality team, the folks serving in Risen Junior and middle school and after church, high school? Man, we just have one of the best serve teams across the board at this church. I'm so thankful for them. Well, my name's Austin. I'm on the team here at the church. And whether you've been with us for this is your first 30 minutes ever with us, or you're one of our long-standing 30-year members, we simply want to be a Jesus-centered church here. We want him to be the center of everything that we do for the people of Los Angeles, and ultimately, it's our hope that would leak out to the ends of the earth, to the entire world. And so when we gather together on Sunday mornings and throughout the week, there's three things we want to do really well. First is we just want to know Jesus better. We want to put more of our trust, more of our hope, more of our allegiance in Jesus. And we think that as we do, we will begin to grow in our faith, in the hope that we have in Christ. And as we grow in faith, and we grow more and more into his image, we become the kinds of people that are equipped to go out and to serve the world. Beginning in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, and in our church. So today we're wrapping up a two-week mini-series on friendship. Last week, Trevor did a masterful job talking about the friendship between Jonathan and David, and this week we're going to talk about the friendship between Ruth and Naomi. You know, we've just concluded a 10-week series in Genesis, which it looks like we'll pick back up again next fall as we continue to work through there. And we're just 1 week away from Advent. Amen for Advent. It begins next week. But we want to spend 2 weeks in friendship because we live in a society that is increasingly lonely. A society that is increasingly friendless. So this two-week series is simply geared towards what it means to be a good, godly friend. And so this morning we're going to be in the book of Ruth, if you want to begin to turn to the book of Ruth. Ruth is a book about friendship. It's about covenant faithfulness, and it's about family. We won't be able to talk about the entire book, the full scope of the book of Ruth, but we do want to dial in on a small piece of dialogue between Ruth and Naomi. And so we're going to be in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And I want to give you five different ideas from this text that I think will be helpful for your family and your roommates to reread, to talk about, to pray through, to think about throughout the week as you kind of discern, am I being a good godly friend and do I have good godly friends in my life? And so these are the 5 points we're going to make this morning. And it's that friends have shared adversity, friends have shared adventure, friends have shared monotony, friends share their friends and their faith, and friends have a shared destiny. Again, that's shared adversity, shared adventure, shared monotony, sharing friends and faith, and shared destiny. But let me start with this. One of my favorite movies or trilogy of movies of all times is Lord of the Rings. It's not uncommon that an example from Lord of the Rings pops up in a sermon. But there is this moment in which the Fellowship of the Ring is just kind of beginning. If you're unfamiliar with the movies, it's a must watch, but the idea is that Frodo has this ring and this group of friends around him, and they're journeying to destroy the ring. And there is this one moment in which Frodo kind of gauges this large group of friends that he has around him, and he gets this sense, I think I need to go this alone. I think I need to leave this big group of friends behind, and I need to take off on my own and bear this weight simply by myself. And so during kind of this action sequence in which everyone's kind of distracted, Frodo goes and slips into a boat and begins to paddle down the river by himself. But his best friend Samwise, sneaky Samwise, sees Frodo paddling by himself in his boat, and he says, "Not on my watch. There's no way I'm letting Frodo go through all the adversity he's about to go through on his own." We have a similar moment here in the book of Ruth. Beginning in verse 16, we begin with this short verse, "But Ruth replied to Naomi, 'Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from you.'" To give you a little context of what's happening in this dialogue, we're picking up towards the end of a dialogue between Ruth and a widow named Naomi. So let me give you a brief kind of summary and catch up to this moment. Naomi and her husband had moved from Israel to Moab for work because there was a massive famine in the land of Israel. And they had two sons while in Moab. So you've got Naomi, her husband, and her two sons. And then her two sons get married. But as they kind of journey along, a few kind of tragic things happen. First, her sons and their wives have no kids, and her sons pass away. And not only do her sons pass away, but Naomi's husband passes away. And so when you look at Naomi's family line, it's just Naomi and her two daughters-in-law at this point. And somewhere along the way, as they're about 10 years into their time in Moab, Naomi gets the sense, I need to go back to Israel. It seems as if the famine is over. There might be a glimmer of opportunity there. So daughters-in-law, let's set out back for Israel. And they're not far into their journey until Naomi actually turns to these two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, and says, hey, this is actually probably not a good idea. I need to go this alone. You two should turn back. And the two daughters-in-law, they begin to cry and weep and wail. There's no way we're going to leave you. We're coming with you. And Naomi doubles down and says, no, it will be better for you and your futures if you turn back. And Orpah says, okay, I'm going back. But Ruth pipes up and says, dude, Naomi, there's no way I'm leaving you. And so Naomi comes back a third time saying, Ruth, you have to turn back. And Ruth says, zip it. Don't urge me to leave you. Don't urge me to turn back from you. I am going with you wherever you go. Ruth recognizes that this journey for Naomi back to Israel, and once back in Israel, is going to be a ton of adversity. The physical journey back, the financial adversity once they're back, because she's a widow and has no way of supporting herself. The relational adversity, trying to reintegrate into Israel society, but with no family around her. But Ruth says, Naomi, I'm not going to let you go through adversity alone. So don't urge me to turn back. This is a sign of good, godly friendship. When you share adversity with your friends, this happens in the Gospels. This is John chapter 6. Life for Jesus is about to start to get difficult and hard. He's kind of ascending in popularity, and there's all these miracles happening, and the crowds are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then he gives this really difficult, tough teaching to a large crowd of people. And the text says that all of his disciples kind of start to abandon him. And Jesus gets the sense, is this just going to be me going forward? And so this is John chapter 6, beginning in verse 66. It says, after this really difficult teaching of Jesus, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with Jesus. Verse 67, so Jesus said to his closest kind of 12, do you want to leave me as well? Do you want to go away as well? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We recognize this is about to be really difficult for you, but we're with you. We're going to stick by your side. In friendship, this is crucial. If you want to be a good, godly friend, be prepared to share in your friend's adversity and allow your friends to share in your adversity. And your adversity may be relational, maybe something going on in your marriage or with your kids or your lack of marriage or lack of kids. Your adversity may be financial. You may be in a really, really tough spot. Your adversity may be health in and out of the hospital. Let me encourage you, if you want to be a good, godly friend, when your friend is in the hospital, visit them often. And if you want good, godly friends, when you are in the hospital, welcome them to see you, to share in some of the pain and difficulty of that. And so one of our questions this morning, when we consider what it means to be a good, godly friend, are you sharing in your friend's adversity, or are you turning a blind eye to it? And when you're going through a difficult time, are you allowing your friends to share in your adversity, or are you keeping it from them? And so a prayer you might pray in your community group or with some of your friends is, Lord, would you help us to share in adversity with one another? So that's point number one. Friends have shared adversity. Point number two, friends actually have a shared adventure. Ruth continues, says, don't urge me to go back, because watch this. Where you go, I'm going. What you're about to do, I am going to do with you. Again, Naomi is on a journey from Moab back to Israel, and it's certainly going to be a very difficult journey. She does not have a husband. She does not have sons or daughters. She does not have grandkids. She only has these two daughters-in-law, and one has already abandoned her. And now Ruth recognizes, I'm the only one that she has left, but tells Naomi, wherever you go, I will go. Ruth has a golden retriever energy in this moment. If you're a dog person, you've probably seen those videos on Instagram where the owner is in a, you know, kind of medical emergency, and the owner gets put in the ambulance, and the ambulance starts driving away, but then you see the dog, and the dog just chases after the ambulance, not because it's just a car, but because their owner is in that ambulance. And then they get there, and they're like, okay, this dog certainly is not leaving. Wherever we take this owner, this dog's going to go. And so they let the dog go into the hospital room and just be by their owner's side. Ruth is giving off that same kind of energy. In other words, Ruth is committed to sharing in this adventure with Naomi. You know, one of the things I love about the history of this church is this church has a real rich history of sharing in adventure together, pulling in the same direction together. You know, there was a moment at this point, I'm imagining decades ago, before my time here, that someone had this adventurous idea, hey, let's start a school. And then a bunch of church folks said, that sounds like a wild, risky adventure. We're in. Let's do it together. And at some point, someone had this idea, hey, let's start a nonprofit together for women that are at risk, and maybe we'll partner with some other churches, but let's make this happen. And the church said, that sounds like a risky adventure. We're in. Let's do it. This church at moments has had they've gone through this class called Perspectives, in which they talk about international missions. And folks from this church have gone through that class and decided, I think God is calling me to the adventure of going international. And the church said, that sounds like a risky adventure. We want to go with you financially, but we want to go with you. I love that about this church. This church loves to say, if you're going, I'm going. If you're doing, I'm doing. If God has it on your heart, I want to partner with you. So it's true that we live in a world that's far more tame than the ancient Near East and Middle Earth, if you're Frodo. However, it can't be understated how important it is to have meaningful adventures with your friends. To say, if God has something in your heart, I want to partner with you and bring my gifts to the table to help that happen. It may be that you are shooting a movie, and your friends say, hey, if you're doing it, how can I come alongside you? You may say, hey, I'm starting a business. Hey, if you're doing that, I'm coming alongside you. Hey, I feel called to missions. Hey, if you're doing that, I am coming alongside of you. If you want rich, meaningful, good, godly friendships, where your friends are going, go with them. What your friends are doing, find a way not just to encourage them, but to partner with them. And so a question you might reflect on is, do you have some shared adventures that you're going with your friends on? Do you have some shared adventures that you're partnering with your friends in? And if you don't have any risky adventures that are on the horizon, you might pray with your friends, Lord, would you give us a meaningful adventure together? would you lay something on our heart to go at together, to partner together, to pull together towards? That's the second point here, is friends have a shared adventure. But it's not just adventure, it's monotony. And this is point number three. Friends have shared monotony together. So Ruth says, hey, where you go, I'm going. What you do, I'm doing. But also when you kind of, when you land, and when you settle down, you kind of make it back to Israel and you kind of make it back into your dwelling and things kind of become a bit more rhythmic and monotonous. Where you stay, I'm going to stay with you. So Ruth notes that not only will I share in your adventure, I'll share in some of the mundaneness of life with you. When the rhythms of keeping a home and going outside of the home pop up, I will be there with you, even when it's a bit boring and when it's a bit dull. I won't go looking for the next adventure, but I'll stay with you. I was just back in Tulsa last week, and I ran into one of my best buddies from high school's brother. So not my best buddy, but his brother. And we were kind of sitting in a circle, and somebody asked, hey, how do you guys know each other? My best friend from high school's brother piped up and said, well, Austin and my younger brother, they were, you know, best friends all throughout high school. And he said, and I felt like every weekend when I woke up, it's like Austin was living at my house. And what's funny is if you asked any of my friend's parents, they would have replied the same way. It feels like y'all are kind of living together, and you just hop from house to house together. And we used to talk about how important it was to capture nothing time together. Now, certainly my friends and I, we had some adventures that we went on, some fun times that were daring and interesting. But the bulk of our time was sitting around doing kind of nothing. Mundane, boring things. But it's kind of in like the fire of the mundane and the fire of the boring together that you really forge some of this trust that you have in one another. So when things get boring, instead of saying, well, you guys are boring, I'm going to go find something more exciting to do, you sit in it with them. And Ruth is telling Naomi a similar thing. When this adventure kind of begins to land, I'm going to stay with you, and it becomes mundane. Jesus and his disciples have similar kind of moments. This is in Mark chapter 6. Jesus is kind of in the middle of a lot of adventure. A lot is happening around Jesus. But in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, it says, because so many people were coming and wanted to see Jesus, they didn't have a chance to eat. They were just swamped by people. But Jesus tells his disciples, hey, come away with me. Come, but let's go by ourselves to a quiet place where we can just rest. Let the adrenaline subside. Let the busyness go away. Let's just go spend quiet, mundane, boring time together. You know, this is one of the great challenges of friendship post-college, is when you're in elementary school, and when you're in high school, and when you're in college, you have this just intense proximity to other people that are your age and your stage of life. And so accumulating some of this nothing time with one another comes about really easily. But after college and you kind of enter the workforce, you find, oh, making friends is a little bit trickier than it used to be. And you can't quite always put your finger on it. But I think one of the reasons is because we start looking for things that are always exciting instead of trying to find, hey, where's a group of people that I can get into a nothing rhythm with? That I can just show up and serve with them on Sunday morning early. And we can just sit next to each other in church on Sunday morning. And then go to someone's house for a community group on the midweek. And just kind of, we just need to log some hours together. Because without logged hours, friendship is almost impossible. And so a question for you, if you have really robust friends or you're looking for really good godly friends, are you staying where your friends are staying? When things start getting boring, are you looking for something exciting, or do you say, hey, let's do the mundane together? So a prayer you might have for yourself, if you find that you're always kind of looking for the next great thing, the next adrenaline rush, you might ask the question, Lord, would you help make me into the kind of person that is just enters into nothing time with people and logs hours of mundane, boring life that you might forge a great friendship with this person. Ruth tells Naomi, I will stay where you stay. Friends have shared monotony together. This is point number four. Friends share their friends and share faith with each other. Verse 16, towards the latter part of it. Ruth tells Naomi, your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Ruth is a Moabite, not an Israelite. Ruth worships a different God in Moab. But certainly through her marriage to one of Naomi's sons, she was probably introduced to Yahweh, certainly. But now, even in the death of her husband, she wants to maintain fidelity to Yahweh and even become kind of a resident alien or a resident foreigner in Israel with Naomi. She wants the people of Israel to become her people and Yahweh to stay her God. I have a group of friends in Oklahoma that tend to live by a mantra, share your friends and share your faith. It wasn't share your faith with your friends, although that's important. They just carried this mantra of, hey, it's important that the people that I care about over here and the people that I care about over here become the kinds of people that also care about each other. It's that, what's that old phrase? Any friend of so-and-so is a friend of mine. That Ruth not only wants to share her friends, but Ruth wants friends shared with her. This is a common thing that friends that begin to spend time together ought to begin to also share their faith together. That not only will the people be my people, but God will be my God. And so you begin to share friends and expand your network, and you go to church together, and you go to community group together, and you go to worship nights together, you go to serve days together, you go to all kinds of things together. And we see this kind of practice even in the early church. We have Acts chapter 3, this kind of big miracle is going to happen. If you've been around Faith for a while, you recognize the story about the man who he wants gold and silver from these disciples, and they say, hey, gold and silver have I none, but what I have I give to you. Stand up and walk in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. There's a much kind of often overlooked part at the very beginning of that story is simply that these two friends are going to worship and pray together. They weren't going to look for someone to minister to or someone to heal or something to do. They were just going to worship and pray together because that's what friends do. This is Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple, going up to church at the hour of prayer. Why? Simply to pray together. If you want good, godly friends, share faith together. Share times of prayer together and times of worship together and church together. This is one of those fundamental principles of being a good, godly friend, that you would share faith with one another. And for the folks that you end up meeting here and there, inviting them to church, inviting them to game nights, inviting them to community group, inviting them to Friendsgivings and Secret Santas, inviting them to serve with you. Friendship is not a zero-sum game. But the more that you share your friends with other friends, and the more you begin to worship and pray together, the richer your life gets. So are you sharing your friends with other people, and are you sharing in the journey of faith with one another? And so maybe this is a prayer this week. Lord, give me opportunities to share some of my friends with people that need friends, and help us to journey toward you in faith together. Friends have shared friends and shared faith. And this is my fifth and final point. Friends have this assumed shared destiny with one another. This is Ruth chapter 1, verse 17. Ruth kind of wraps this moment up with, hey, and by the way, Naomi, where you die, I will also die. And there I will be buried. In other words, my commitment to you doesn't just last until you're dead. It lasts even beyond when you are dead. I mean, in this story, it couldn't be overstated the degree to which Ruth is committed to Naomi. Ruth will share in Naomi's adversity. Ruth will share in Naomi's adventure. Ruth will share in Naomi's kind of boring, mundane, monotonous life. Ruth will share in Naomi's friendships and this new faith in Yahweh. And here Ruth says she will even share in death with Naomi. It's a scene that we often see often in a movie. A husband and wife, maybe the husband passes away and they go to the cemetery and you see the headstone, the gravestone with all the husband's information on it. And then there's one right next to it that's waiting for information for once the wife passes away. In other words, the wife is kind of committing to, hey, where you're buried, I'm going to be buried too. My commitment to you lasts beyond just your lifetime. Ruth is giving Naomi a similar kind of commitment here. Wherever you're buried, I'll be buried too. The disciples really wanted to carry this kind of attitude with Jesus, especially in his darkest hours. This is towards the end of Matthew chapter 26, verse 35. Peter declares out loud, Jesus, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said, yeah, me too. Now, they didn't make good on that. But the point is their disposition was, man, I'm here till the very end with you. Now, we're not making the point that you should buy burial plots next to each other. That's not the point we're making. But there should be this idea in friendship that, hey, I'm so committed to this, that barring some unforeseen, drastic circumstance, not only am I committed to this friendship with you, but like I'm just committed to being buried in this city with you somewhere. This assumes, man, we are in this until the very end together in this place because God has planted us here and rooted us here. And so do you have friends in your life that carry that same kind of sense of, we're not going anywhere, we're sticking together even until death? You may be in the cemetery plot over there and we're over here, but man, we'll be buried in this city together. So a prayer you might have as you look for good godly friends is, Lord, make me and my friends till death and burial friends. So that's the final point. Friends have a shared destiny. And so with that being said, we want to turn to the table of communion this morning. And so if you're serving communion this morning, I'd love to go ahead and just invite you up as we kind of set the stage for it. And the truth is we are creatures created by God and created for friendship with one another. But the reality is that we have failed as friends throughout our lives. We are the kinds of people, if we're honest with ourselves, we have abandoned our friends in times of adversity. We have abandoned our friends in moments in which they were going on an adventure. We said, that sounds great, you're on your own. We've abandoned our friends in seasons of monotony. When things got boring or dull, we said, I want something more exciting. I'm ditching this friendship. We've kind of formed non-sharing cliques of friends in which we don't share our friends with other people and allow other people to remain friendless and lonely. We've jumped ship on our friends in pursuit of lesser things at times. But when we look at the life of Christ, Christ is truly the one that fulfilled this. What does it mean to be a friend to the max? Christ was committed to his friends through all of the adversity that he went through. He remained with his friends in moments of adventure as they went in and out of Jerusalem and when they went out and beyond the Sea of Galilee. He stayed with his friends in seasons of monotony during his itinerant ministry when it would be rainy season and there wasn't a lot of traveling or things to do and they just kind of hunkered down. He remained with them. He shared his friends with the world, telling them, go now and make disciples from Jerusalem to the very ends of the earth. And he even invited his friends to take up their cross and follow him even until death. At one point, Jesus will say this. He'll say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, for greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Christ has laid down his life for us that we might become friends with God. This is one of the great mysteries of the gospel, is that we're enemies of God because of our sinfulness, but now we've become adopted into his family. Friends with God because Christ made things right through his death, burial, and resurrection.